Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Public Relations, publisher of Being Incandescent Business Magazine, and your host for the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. Hi, this is Hope Gibbs, and we are here on the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show with Buddy Tester, the CEO of Souls for Souls. He runs a Nashville-based charity that collects shoes from the warehouses of footwear companies and the closets of people like all of us. It distributes these shoes to people in need regardless of race, religion, class, or any other criteria. Since 2005, Souls for Souls has delivered more than 19 million pairs of new and gently worn shoes. These have been distributed in over 125 countries, including Kenya, Thailand, Nepal, and the United States. Buddy says the idea behind Gifts of Shoes is nothing new to the Souls for Souls team, as they coordinated relief efforts for the Asian tsunami, Hurricane Katrina, and Rita, and netted over 1 million pairs donated for these disasters. So we are thrilled to have Buddy on the show, and we want to mention that we met you at the Conscious Capitalism Conference back in April 2013 in San Francisco, and you told me about your effort and your organization, and I thought, well, more people need to know about this. So today we're going to talk to Buddy about his organization. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks very much. Really appreciate the chance to talk with you.
It's my pleasure, absolutely. So you tell us about Souls for Souls, where you're based, and how people can get involved.
Sure. Well, as you said, Souls for Souls really started back in 2004 with the tsunami that affected so much of Asia. And then shortly after that, the hurricane in New Orleans with Katrina and along the Gulf Coast. And between those two disasters, the founder, Wayne Elsie, who came from the shoe industry, reached out to his contacts and collected hundreds of thousands, million pairs of shoes to distribute. And after Hurricane Katrina, he had the idea of incorporating the organization and calling it Souls for Souls and really making this an ongoing relief effort. Since that time, Souls for Souls has expanded the mission, not to ever get away from disaster relief. It's a huge part of what we do in distributing free shoes to people in need, whether that's through natural disaster or just, you know, poverty that's hard for us to imagine. That's still a core part of what we do. And we also now are really focused on microenterprise as a way to long-term make a difference in the world by allowing people to create and sustain their own income. So they're not dependent on handouts, but they really, you know, to use the cliche, give a woman a fish or teach her to fish, and we really like the idea of being able to do both. And the teaching her to fish is a big part of what we think Souls for Souls will really make an impact in the world going forward.
So take us back to the beginning, 2005. Tell us how the organization got started and where you've come since then.
So really in the beginning, the focus was a lot on the natural disasters. And so there was such an outpouring around the world for both Hurricane Katrina and the Asian tsunami that I wasn't there in the beginning, so some of this is kind of the history handed down, but the response was overwhelming. And between people, individuals wanting to do things, as well as the corporate contributions, it was really stunning. So that continued along, and then I think probably an inflection point for Souls for Souls was the earthquake in Haiti in 2010, when the response to that in the U.S. in particular, was just overwhelming. And in a very short amount of time, Souls for Souls collected another million pairs of shoes just for relief in Haiti. And as the mission has gotten more stable and the organization has gotten more mature, we've been able to expand that disaster relief into these microenterprise areas. So I think the future of Souls for Souls is really going to be made up of those two different strands where we can help people in need in the U.S. and around the world by directly putting shoes on their feet for free in places where it's just really there aren't many options. But in lots of parts of the developing world, the other part of what we do around microenterprise and helping people to create and sustain these businesses is a way to make a difference in the long term. So we are really focused on growing both parts of that by expanding our outreach into communities and working with individuals and schools and civic organizations and religious organizations, but also expanding our relationships with corporate partners, manufacturers and retailers in the footwear and the clothing industry. So even though we're based in Nashville, we collect clothes and shoes nationally and we distribute them globally.
So tell us exactly how we can get involved as consumers who have shoes from our teenagers that they outgrow every 30 seconds, it seems. How can we get involved?
So, you know, in a way, Hope, this is great that we're having this conversation on Earth Day, because one of the things that everybody should know, because it was a stunning statistic to me when I first got involved with Soles for Souls, every year Americans throw away more than 1 billion pounds of clothes and shoes. And yet the demand for used clothes and shoes, in particular, around the world, in the developing world, is practically unlimited. I mean, there's would be impossible almost to meet that need. So we have a huge mismatch. So one of the things that we can all do as individuals is just not do that. Just find a way to donate those, like you said, whether it's your kids outgrowing them every time you turn around, whether they're gently worn, whether it's out of fashion, whether they don't fit anymore, putting those things back into use, giving them a second life. And it is really easy to do that. So if you want to do it with Souls for Souls, and we hope that you do, we have shoe drop-off locations all around the country in retailers and a lot of retailers, but also in other in offices and those kinds of things. So if you go to our website, Souls, S-O-L-E-S, the number 4, S-O-U-L-S, .org, you can put in your zip code and they'll tell you the closest location to drop off your shoes. So whether that's one pair or 10 pair, that's a very easy thing to do. But one of the things that I think is the coolest about Souls for Souls is that there are thousands, tens of thousands of people every year who go to the next step and actually hold a shoe drive. So I got an email this morning that just came into our general sort of info at soulsforsouls.org of a 6-year-old girl who is having a birthday party. And she, you know, her father was writing this email saying she doesn't want presents. She's got everything she needs. She wants everybody to bring used and new shoes because she wants to give them to other kids who need them. So here's a girl who's taking, at 6 years old, pretty impressive, saying, I don't need any more stuff. And now she's going to collect, I don't know what, 50, 100 pairs of shoes. So there are ways to step that up from I've got one pair to get rid of to I want to organize a shoe drive in my neighborhood, at my school, at my church, at my Girl Scout troop, at my Eagle Scout group, lots of ways to expand that. And so, you know, this past year, 2012, we collected about 3 million things. Most of that is shoes. And about half of those came from individuals. So there are a lot of people out there every year who clean out their closets or get excited about the cause and want to make a difference or about a country where we're working. And it is really easy to take that next step from I want to do something to actually making a difference with donating your shoes.
That's excellent. So tell us again exactly what the criteria is, gently worn shoes.
And yeah, can you so the way that we think pair? About it and what we're committed to is you can donate anything. We're going to make sure we do our best to find it a good home. The better the quality of the shoes or clothes, the more we can do with it. But we get probably about 1% of what we get donated is you just can't work with it. I mean, we look at it and go, I think maybe they went to put this in the trash and got it in the wrong bag. But there are things that a lot of us would consider not wearable that we can send to places like Pakistan, for example, where a lot of recycled stuff goes. It might get turned into shoes. It might get turned into stuffing for a soccer ball. There are lots of other uses. So first of all, don't throw anything in the garbage. I think that's the place to start. But, you know, if you've only worn a pair of shoes one time, that's great because we can do a lot more with that than if our only option is to send it to someplace to be recycled. So, and everything in between. So our commitment is when we do distribution of free shoes and clothes is that those are new. So when we handed out shoes, for example, after Hurricane Sandy, I'm in New York right now and people are asking that question, what did you do for Hurricane Sandy? Everything that we distributed with our partners was new. So that was coats from North Face and Carhartt and shoes from North Face as well and Under Armour, who made a special exception to say, yes, you can put that stuff in the U.S. But that was all new. So whether it's brand new or you're thinking about the trash, we do our best. And like I said, 99 times out of 100, we find a place for that to go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We recently, at the Conscious Capitalism Conference, in fact, met the president of Patagonia, Casey Sheehan, and his wife Tara is now, I'm very pleased to say, on our speakers bureau, incandescentspeakers.com. And I'm wondering if maybe we should connect you with them, because I'm sure Patagonia has some good ways to connect you. And what you're doing is just so wonderful. So if I have one pair of sneakers, is that the or something else that I think you might be able to recycle for me, or 10? I just put it in a box and ship it off to you.
So there are two things that you can do. That's one way, and that's great because you can ship it right to our warehouse, or you can go to our website, put in your zip code, and find the closest location to drop off shoes, and you can go by your running store, where you buy your dress shoes, wherever it is, and we have thousands of locations around the country. Put in your zip code, it tells you the closest one, and you can just drop them off in the box. Now, a lot of those retailers, because they do take on the cost of shipping those things to us, they don't want somebody to show up with 100 pairs of shoes. But if somebody comes by with one or two or three, they're very happy to do that. So you can mail them directly. You can find them a drop-off box. Well, if you get really excited, you can collect 20,000 pairs. We'll send the truck to you and ship them at no cost to our warehouse in Alabama.
20,000 pairs, that sounds exciting. Has that happened?
Happens all the time. Actually, I'm in New York right now in White Plains. And they are kicking off a shoe drive today as a part of Earth Week here. And their goal is to collect a tractor trailer full of shoes, which is about 22,000 pair, and ship them to our warehouse in Alabama.
Wow, that sounds like a huge success. Tell us some about the moments that you just are so pleased to be doing this and you feel like you're actually making a huge difference.
I'll tell maybe two stories because I think it shows both sides of what we do. So I hadn't been at Souls for Souls very long. I just started in October. And our warehouse is in very rural Alabama. It's a very poor part of the U.S. that a lot of us don't know about. And we're very happy that we provide, depending on the season, there's a little bit of seasonality to our business, between 10 and 20 jobs in a part of the country that needs it. So I went there. I got a chance to talk to the fourth grade class. Their grades K through 12, about 400 kids total, so it's a very small community. And the next day, the chairman of our board, who's very involved in the school there, said a teacher called him and said, "I need some shoes for a kid in my class." Because she'd asked him, "Why are you still wearing these shoes?" And he sent a picture. I mean, impossible to wear, right? So we sent a pair of shoes to the school. This kid was wearing a size four. He actually got fitted with a size eight. So this is right in our country, Hope. I mean, this is 2 hours from Atlanta, Georgia, right? And we're not talking about impossible to imagine places. And the poverty there and the burdens that people try to get through to send their kids to school, it's just as acute in rural Alabama as it is in Haiti. So knowing that we can help make that difference in the U.S. is a big deal. And I felt great about us being able to help this kid get some shoes that he was proud of and needed. And I think that'll make a difference for him in his little community. At the same
Oh,
time, you go to a place
absolutely.
like Haiti, where at least I expected poverty, and it was overwhelming. I mean, there's no way to say that. Probably other than India, I've never been any place where the poverty just is overwhelming. And I went with a lot of preconceived notions about what that meant, of 70% unemployment and 90% of the economy is in the informal sector, right? So it's off the radar screen. So my assumptions about that were people weren't willing to work very hard and, were sort of waiting on a handout. And I was so wrong about that. And I mean this, I don't know that I've ever been any place where I've seen so many people hustling. Because if you don't find a way to make your own living in Haiti, you go hungry. I mean, this isn't like a hobby. Average income there for about, I think, almost 70% of the population is less than $2 a day. And there's no infrastructure, government infrastructure. There's no welfare system. There's no social safety net. So if you don't find a way to generate some money, there's nobody there to help. So when we go there and we were handing out free shoes to schools and orphanages so that these kids, because you can't go to school there unless you have a pair of shoes, So this is these shoes that we give away are kind of a gateway to education, which has the possibility to change everything for these kids. But we also have a, so to see them, many of these kids for the first time actually have a pair of shoes to put on is humbling in a way that's kind of hard to describe. I mean, all the things that we take for granted, again, so much of this sounds like a cliche, but when you're looking in this 13-year-old boy's eyes and you know he's never had a pair of new shoes and he showed up barefoot now and you know he's not in school and that this might be the thing that changes his life or his sister's life, that is a, it's a sobering moment. It's a joyful moment, too, to be able to be a part of that, but it's hard to imagine. So at the same time we see that, we also see women in the marketplace who are selling our shoes. They buy shoes from us. It's a very commercial, sustainable transaction in a social enterprise way. And to see that this woman now is, we know that she's gone from barely eating to being able to afford to send her kids to school and have two hot meals a day. Again, I mean, that is a great thing to know. We, and that's the people who donated the shoes, that's the people who work at Souls for Souls, we had a hand in making that possible for her. So those are two examples that, to me, I keep in mind a lot. And there are lots more that we hear about from our volunteers and people who travel or organizations we partner with in local that tell us these stories. And it's a huge motivation. There's no question about that. And it is also a constant reminder of how lucky most of us are and how easy it is for us to make a difference in other people's lives every day.
That's tremendous. So tell us about some of the challenges that you have in your organization. Is shipping a big issue?
So we have two big challenges, and one is a great challenge, and the other one is a frustrating challenge. So the frustrating challenge is one of the biggest barriers, we think, to people donating more, and it's one you've already touched on, Hope, is shipping. We ask the people who contribute shoes to us to take on the cost of shipping. So a lot of times what happens, people will go with great intentions, and even though we try on our website and, you know, in our communications to be clear about this cost of shipping to our warehouse, and we have a big warehouse in Alabama, but we have 6 or 7 across the country so that we can reduce the cost of shipping. But when you show up, the little girl who's going to have a birthday party, she's going to have 100 pairs of shoes, and her parents are going to go to a place to ship them, and they're going to say, well, that's $125, and the conversation is going to end right there. I'm like, wait a minute, we're doing a good thing here at the birthday party, and now it's going to cost me $125 to send these shoes? I'm not doing it. So the good news is they usually find their way to someplace local, Goodwill, Salvation Army, a women's shelter, so they don't go to waste. But as Souls for Souls, they don't make it to us. So figuring out a way to make the shipping either free or less expensive or easier, that is one of our biggest challenges. My guess is we could probably double the number of shoes that actually get donated if we can solve that. We work with a lot of great organizations who do underwrite the cost of shipping, but it is a big challenge. The other challenge is in a way related, and it's one that, as the CEO, I'm pretty excited about helping to solve. So I mentioned earlier that the demand for used clothes and shoes around the, especially in the developing world, is practically unlimited. So our other big challenge is we don't have enough stuff. These gigantic numbers about how much goes in the trash is heartbreaking on lots of levels. Terrible for the environment is very high on the list. But also there are people who can use that stuff, who can right now, they can help make a living, they can go and have more than one thing to wear, and it's in our trash, it's in our landfills. So figuring out how to get more of that stuff from people's closets and from excess inventory so that we can help find it a new home, that is a gigantic challenge because we know that we can find a home for almost all of it right away.
Well, that sounds great. So tell us, so what are you going to do next? What's on the horizon that you're really excited about?
So I'm excited about a lot of things that we're doing at Souls for Souls, but one thing I'm particularly excited about in the microenterprise area is in Haiti, where Souls for Souls is probably the deepest involved. Let me back up a second. Souls for Souls, one of the things that we do too to connect people more viscerally to the work is we do about 20 to 25 travel programs a year. So between 10 and 30 people, they will go to places like Haiti and Jamaica and Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, and Tanzania are places we're traveling right now, where people pay to come on the trip, and they go for anywhere between 5 and 10 days, and they work hard at distributing shoes to these local communities. And it's hard to believe, I don't know anybody yet who has come away from one of those trips not changed. So we have a lot of insight through our travel program into these places. And Haiti is the place that we're probably most connected. You could distribute a lot of shoes there. It's close to the U.S. The earthquake aftermath exacerbated an already sort of train wreck of a situation. So the need there is really deep. I mean, we probably have heard the statistic, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere by far. So the need is just tremendous. So the thing that excites me is we are finding local microcredit partners to partner with directly so that instead of our current way where we're not as hands-on as we want to be with the woman who's actually buying our shoes to sell in the market, we're going to be shipping them to a local microcredit organization. So these are the guys who are providing the $25 loan, the $50 loan to these women so they can buy a few pounds of shoes from us and go sell in the market. But it gets them on the track to building that business. And so being able to ship them better quality stuff more consistently, they say to us already in just a little bit of pilot testing that we've done, that is almost maybe even more valuable than actually getting more access to credit. So we're not in the microcredit business. We love people who are and think that they're doing great works, but being a good partner to them so that we can really be an effective lever to help these women grow their businesses, that's the thing I'm most excited about. So when I look, 12, 18, 24 months from now, and that we have that system really working well in Haiti, and that we figured out how to do it in these other countries where we're traveling and have more of a presence, that is one of the most exciting things I think we've got going on at Souls for Souls. So expanding our travel program, collecting more stuff, working with more corporate partners, there's a lot of things that are very exciting. But the microenterprise program and really getting plugged in to the vendor, to the street merchant level is very exciting to us.
That sounds great. So tell our listeners again what, how they can get involved with Souls for Souls.
So the best place to start is our website, SOLES, the number 4, SOULS.org, Souls for Souls. And you can donate one pair of shoes. You can figure out how to do that locally. You can ship them to us. You can do a shoe drive. You can travel with us. You can do something right now today that doesn't cost you a dime by donating shoes when you find a local retailer to drop them off, all the way to travel with us to Africa or collect 20,000 pairs of shoes in your community or more. There is a way to make a difference right now. And so I think that's maybe the most exciting part of our message is you don't have to train for this. You don't have to collect money for this. All those things you might want to do, but if you want to do something right now, you can make a difference this afternoon by putting your shoes in a collection point box. So we hope that if nothing else, people know don't throw that stuff in the trash. Somebody can put it to work. We would like to be the people that you, the organization that you choose to work with, but just please know that the things that you are tired of can have another life someplace else, and we hope that we can be a part of that.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you so much for being with us, buddy. And that's soulsforsouls.org. That's SOLES, the number 4, SOULS.org. So definitely get involved today. I know I'm going to open up a box and let all the shoes, the extra shoes in our house, drop into it so that we can send them to you. And we look forward to staying in touch and keeping up abreast of your successes as you go international, more international with your micro lending program. So thanks again for your time.
Hope it was my
And we
pleasure.
can't
Thanks for the
imagine.
chance to talk about Souls for Souls with you.
That's great. There's no better way to celebrate Earth Day, I think. So we'll talk to you soon, buddy. This is the Incandescent Radio Network. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
So that's it for today's Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, where we always ask, what's your story? If you have a good one and would like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, send me an email to hope@hopegibbs.com. Check back every Monday at noon for a new episode of the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, www.incandescentradio.com. We look forward to talking to you next week. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.